This morning, we come to the penultimate message in our purpose-driven life series. If you don't realize what we've been doing, or if you're visiting today, we're doing a series called Purpose Driven Life, based upon the book of the same name by Rick Warren. It's a book that was written about 20 odd years ago, and talking about how we can live for Christ and how we can find purpose in our walk with him day by day. We've been looking at a number of different themes, and then we've had discussions that happen on a Tuesday evening, which will be this Tuesday as well, 7:30 here at church and on Zoom as well, where we kind of look at some of the readings that we've been looking at, to discuss deeper. We've got a WhatsApp group as well, as well as hearing the message here on a Sunday morning too. So in this penultimate message this morning, we're looking at the statement, you were shaped for serving God. You and I are shaped to serve the living God. Whenever you launch into any message that relates to giftings or to service, there can be many different things that can enter our heads. Does God really want to use me? I don't really have a talent. I'm not gifted. I've done my service for God years ago. I'm too old now. I don't really have anything I don't think that God could use. I would like to, but my skills won't really make a difference. Then there are times when we make excuses, perhaps, for not serving. I'd serve God, but I'm actually too busy right now. With family commitments, too busy with my new job, I'm too unwell. There's someone better equipped to serve in that ministry than me. That's what the pastor's paid for. There's not anywhere I can serve with my skill set. I don't get anything out of serving. There are kind of all the different kind of things perhaps that we can think about serving. Not saying you particularly think about it, but that's the kind of things that can go on in our minds when we think about serving. Oh no, my time, my effort is going to now be needed. Regardless of what we think about serving God, whether we want to, don't want to, or don't feel we have enough time, it doesn't take away from this truth. You and I are shaped for serving God. It's not that some people were shaped for service while others are shaped to watch everyone else do it. We are all shaped to serve the living God. We are all created to use our gifts and talents in service to God and his kingdom. And I want to say this today to you today, that you don't go through this life and not have any gifts or talents, because you do. You might not know what they are, but you do have gifts and talents. You are chosen for God's holy work. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 in the Living Bible translation says, it is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work. Not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began, to show his love and kindness to us through Christ. I want to say this to you lovingly this morning. Serving God is not a take it or leave it option. Even though at times we can treat it as if it is. But rather, serving God is actually a command this morning for anybody who loves Jesus. John 12 verse 26 says it like this. Be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's a commandment that is written in God's word that we must serve the Lord. The truth is, if we were created then to serve him and we choose not to use our gifts, to build his kingdom and to serve him, then we're actually being disobedient. And in some ways, we might be seen to be being a little bit ungrateful. God has given you gifts to serve him, to honor him, and to help and encourage others as well. Now, that statement saying that, you know, if we don't serve God with our gifts, we might be disobedient or we seem to be ungrateful, might make you feel slightly uncomfortable this morning. I hope it doesn't, but, or it may even feel to you that it might be slightly unfair, especially if you know that you aren't really serving God this morning. It's kind of hit it on the head. But it's important that we have a complete understanding of what God requires of us. If we truly want to live a life of purpose, then serving is part of that living with purpose. We can't get around it. If we love Jesus this morning, it should be a joy to want to serve him, especially after everything that he has done for us. As we've just said this morning, haven't we, as we come around the communion table, everything that God has done for you this morning, it should be a joy to serve him in return. He's died for us. He's forgiven us of our sins. He's made us right with himself. If we are truthful with ourselves this morning, we actually owe our whole lives to him. Do you agree? We owe our very lives to God this morning because he has saved us from a lost eternity. We owe him our lives. So what does it mean then, if we're talking about this whole thing about service, what does it mean? Does it mean we have to carry around food on our arm like waiters do and serve people food? Is that what service is about? Well, you were made, you were put on this earth to make a contribution. As Rick Warren puts it in his book, he says, you were not put on earth just to eat, breathe and take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life. You were born to serve God. And you were born to serve one another, to put others' needs before your own. I guess what the biggest thing for us is, though, is that sometimes we forget that. We forget the whole thing about, we might get a bit about serving God, but then serving others, we kind of at times just put ourselves first. And we go, actually, no, I need to do that. But we need to put others first. Before your own. God wants to remind us about the importance of that. The importance of serving him and the importance of putting others before ourselves. And when it comes to service, there's three things this morning that I want to share with you. There are many, but here are three that I think are key for us today. It might even be four, I can't remember. First of all, you are created to get involved, not to watch on the sidelines. If you're taking notes, you might want to put that down. You were not created to watch. You were created to get involved, not to sit on the sidelines and watch other people do it. Are you the kind of person who is a get up and go kind of person? You see a need and you just do it. Or are you the kind of person who doesn't always notice when things need to be done? Or you just expect that perhaps someone else will do that said thing? If I'm honest, if I can be honest with you this morning, I think there's times when I'm a little bit of both. There's times when I get up and I go and I do, and there's times when perhaps I have just let things go on around me. I can be proactive in church, and throughout my life I've been quite proactive in doing things in church. Yes, I know I'm a minister now in that sense, but before that even, I was quite proactive in doing things in church. But on the other hand, I am not necessarily always the most proactive at home. If I can tell you a story, when I first got married to the lovely Erica, I wasn't always great at being proactive. And I was the kind of person who would kind of didn't see the things or didn't notice when things needed to be done. And Erica's rushing around doing everything and I'm just kind of sitting there. And when Erica and I first got married, you could perhaps categorise me as being perhaps slightly lazy. What I mean is that Erica would always be on the go doing the cleaning, the washing, the tidying, the cooking. And I would sit down, do my own thing, oblivious to the storm that was building, as we can be at times, while I didn't pull my weight. What was going through my mind in those moments, you think, why on earth did you not notice? Well, the things going through my mind were, oh, that's nice. Erica's working hard to make the heist nice. I really appreciate that. What was going through Erica's mind? I can't believe I married a guy who promised me he'd be the modern man, but hasn't lifted a finger to help me. Different views about what needed to be done. As I'm sure you can imagine, that this didn't actually go unchecked. It didn't take long for Erica to tell me what she thought. And nor should it. Sitting around watching Erica do all the work is not fair. It's my house as much as it's Erica's house. She is not my servant. If I value my wife, then I need to pull my weight. And this became even more apparent when we had kids and we added that into the mix. You could not, and I could not, ignore what needed to be done. The good news is I have learned my lesson, and I did start to help out more. But here is the thing, I have to make a concentrated effort to continue to do so. Serving is a concentrated effort. It's a willingness and a yes, I will do that. I'll be honest, I'm not perfect. I still can be lazy at home at times. But I have to make the choice not to watch life happen before me and around me and go, no, I'm going to get involved. When it comes to serving God, are you the kind of person who sees a need and fills it? Or are you the kind of person who stays on the sideline? Thinking it's okay, someone else will do that? Or perhaps potentially worse, we don't see the need at all. Whether it be that we fail to notice how dirty at times the church can become, or we assume someone will just do the refreshments, or someone else will volunteer to do the kids' work. I wonder this morning, what is it that at times we can have the wrong attitude towards serving? Perhaps it's because we subconsciously or consciously believe that serving God is only for those who are in full-time church work or on leadership teams. But Rick Warren says these words about service and the importance for all of us. Growing up, you may have thought being called by God was something only missionaries, pastors, nuns, and other full-time church workers experienced. But every Christian, that's every believer this morning here in this place, is called to service. Thinking that someone else will do the job, ignoring the need, really won't cut it. You've been called to get involved, not to let life go on around you. What's more, the second thing we need to understand this morning about serving is this. You are gifted. So use your gifts in the right way. You are gifted. So use your gifts in the right way. Every person in this congregation this morning, every person who will listen to this message online, to every person on the face of this planet, have one thing in common. What's that? That we are all gifted in some way or another. You might not believe it, but it doesn't make it any less true. God has given each one of us gifts, whether we are caring, whether we're good with numbers, whether we're good listeners, we're a team player, we're good at organization, good at solving problems, we can make people laugh. You have a pastoral nature, you're good at communication, you're practically orientated, you're good at public speaking, you're good at managing other people and managing time, you're good at working with children, you're creative, you're good with money, you're musical, you're good at baking, you know what to say in really, really tough situations. You have a leadership quality, you're good at being an encourager. You're good at sports, you can put chairs away, you're good at cleaning, or you're able to pray with people. Everyone has a gift. You have a gift, and it might have been one of those ones that I mentioned, or one of the hundreds of thousands of other gifts that you could have. What are you doing with what you've got? See, the gifts you have are not a result of how brilliant you are, but a result of what God has given you. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's prepared things that we need to do. He's given us the gifts to be able to use them. What are you doing with what God has given you? Those who know Jesus are called to use their gifts and talents to honor God and to serve him. You see, those who don't know Jesus don't know any better, so will only ever really use their gifts to better themselves and perhaps maybe a couple of people around them. But you're called to something different. As a believer in Jesus, you are called to serve others. That is your primary thing, to use your gifts, not for your own benefits primarily, but for God's kingdom purposes, and to bless other people. You see, when people in the world, they serve and they use their gifts for their own benefits, it never really brings true fulfillment or purpose, or the satisfaction that they crave. What are you doing with what God has given you? Can you honestly say that you're using your gifts to serve God and his kingdom and others? Or do you find yourself using your gifts just to bless you and to make you feel happy? I don't know what the answer is to that question, because only you can answer that, and only I can answer that for myself. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says this about what we should do with our gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What are you using your gifts for? There might be someone here as well today who's in a slightly different kind of way of life at the moment. And actually, you know that you have gifts. And you know that God's giving you gifts, but they're kind of just laying a little bit dormant. That it is there somewhere, but you've just not used it for a while. Now, there could be many reasons why you don't use your gifts anymore. It could be because you've had bad experiences and people have taken you the wrong way. It could be that you got told off for using it, or it could be that you just, like, life has changed and you just not got the same time you think as you used to, and you've just gone, oh, I'll just put that to the side right now. But there's a scripture that says that, Paul said it to Timothy, that to fan into flame once again the gift that God has given you. Because the gift God has given you are special. And you might be the only person that can use your gift in the way that you can. So maybe you need to today, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you once again. That's 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. And may I encourage you away from the service this morning to spend some time with God, being honest with him about where you're at and where you find yourself. Ask him to help you to use your gifts once again to serve his kingdom purposes. Maybe you have to just re-fan into flame. Maybe perhaps you need to have conversations with people. Maybe you need to go on a healing journey if you used to have gifts that you used, but then because it was taken the wrong way that you just decided, I'm not going to use that anymore because it just caused too much hassle. You are gifted. It's the way that God's created you. But make sure you use your gifts in the right way to serve others, to use it for God's kingdom purposes. Thirdly, I believe God will challenge us to say, don't be a square peg in a round hole. Don't be a square peg in a round hole. What do I mean? You've probably heard that term before, but what on earth do I mean in this context? You are not like me. And everybody says amen to that. But you know what? No one's all like you either.
And we say amen to that too. We are all different. And that's okay. In fact, it's more than okay to be different to somebody else. It's actually brilliant. It's brilliant to be different.
Just think for a moment. What would it be like if everyone was like you or me? Goodness me. Life would not function properly if everyone was a Steve. I'll assure you of that right now. Not everybody would be great if they were a Helena this morning, the way that Helena is, because we're all called to be different. And that's not to say Helena's not brilliant. It's not to say that I'm not great. But oh, too many of us doing the same thing, being the same person, is just not going to work. Don't get me wrong. I'm gifted. I know that in certain areas. I love spending time with people, trying to help them through different seasons and challenges of life. I love to preach. But you get me to try and bake, or you get me to try and do DIY and do so at your peril. I'm not great. Fred tried really hard to kind of make me into a DIY person. I ain't great at DIY. I know that's not my gifting. I'm not great at baking. I can burn anything. Just ask Erica. I managed once when I was cooking to burn gammon steak, and all I had to do was just put it in the oven and I still managed to burn it. I'm not great at those things. But God has made me the way that I am. I'm not created to build something all the time or to understand complex theories or to be a great cook. I'm gifted to look after people. I'm gifted to be a communicator, to be pastoral care. I know what I'm good at. It's taken me a long while to figure that out. But I know what I'm good at, and I need to do what I'm good at. You need to know what you're good at, and you need to do that. I can say now that I'm totally satisfied with the gifts God's given me. And in the past, I tried to be like others. I tried to squeeze myself into other people's giftings. I tried to be like some other people. I tried to do, even when I started on my own journey, even in ministry, tried to do things the way that other people did. But it doesn't work. I can only be me, and you can only be you. When I tried to be other people, it ended up messy. It ended up really messy. I'm wondering why I did those things. And why is it that it's messy when you're not yourself? Because round pegs will never fit in square holes, however hard you try. However hard you try to be someone that you're not meant to be, it will not work. You might be able to hammer yourself into that shape, but you will never be the person that God calls you to be if you just try and be someone else. Don't be a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. God wants you to be you. He's totally besotted with you. He created you the way he wanted you to be, with all your intricacies and all your quirks. God has given you specific gifts to suit your heart, your personality, and your experience. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. It's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. God knows you. God knows me. If he knows what we're gifted with, why are we trying to do something that we were never called to do? Don't try and be someone you're not. Use the gift God has given you. Embrace them. If it's administration, celebrate it. Us unorganized people need your help. If it's working with children, don't try to work with adults and embrace your big kids. If you want to work with children, if it's being a musician, play your instrument. Don't try to cook a three-course gourmet meal for your neighbors to show them Jesus. It will end badly. Do what you're good at. Share Jesus in the way that God has called you to share him. If you don't know what you're good at this morning, because some people might be here and you might have been on the walk with God for so many years and you still not find that thing that you're good at, why don't you talk to people? Talk to people around you. Talk to your family members. They know you best.
Talk to God, he knows you even better. Talk to people who perhaps interact with you. They will soon tell you. Sometimes you just need to be told. I remember when I was growing up and just kind of trying to figure out what God had for me. And I spent some time in church and I was just speaking to the pastor at the time, and he just said, look, did you know that you're good at this? His first thing was, you know there's four strings to your bow. That was his first thing. He says, you think that you're good at this, which you are, but this is what you're good at as well. I was like, I'm not sure about that. He's like, no, this is what you're good at. Because sometimes we just need to have somebody talk to us, tell us. Because some people spot it in us. We just do it naturally. And we think, oh, you know, that's just what I do. Well, yes, because God's gifted you to do that. Not everybody is gifted to be able to just sit and listen to people and to be able to just have insight. Not everybody is able to just make things with their hands. I've made many, or tried to make many, many bookcases, etc. I'm not good with my hands. It's hard work. Why do things or concentrate in areas of our lives when trying to be something because we think, oh, that might be a good idea, when God says to us to just concentrate on the things that we're good at? You see, when you find what you're good at, you don't just go, oh, that's nice. You keep practicing it. You keep honing your skill. Goodness me, when I started preaching back 16 years ago, my word, was it interesting looking back over some of those sermons. You've got to hone your skill. You've got to hone your skill and keep going. I know that I'm not still brilliant now. I keep honing my skills. Keep doing what God's called you to do. Keep practicing. Keep serving God, keep serving others. And watch as your influence grows because of the things that you're doing for God. Don't be a square peg in a round hole. God has called you to be you. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 6 in the Phillips translation, this is from the book, it says this: there are different ways of serving God, but it's the same Lord who is served. God works through different men in different ways, but it's the same God who achieves his purposes through them all. There's different ways of serving God this morning. There is no right or wrong. It's what God has called you to. Be the person that God has called you to be. And finally, fourthly, cultivate a servant heart. Serving is not just about using your gift to do a set task, but it's about the heart behind why you do it. Anyone can do a task if they set their mind to it, but can be doing it for the wrong reasons. Only those who have the right heart can truly please God and experience his fulfillment, because you're doing it to please him, not to please yourself. What does God require of us in our service? A servant heart. Mark 10, 43 to 45 says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps, to bring honor and glory through our service. Every time we serve others, putting their needs before our own, we are serving God in the right way. If we don't have a servant heart, we'll be tempted to serve for our own gain, for the accolades and for the praise. And let's be honest that it doesn't work. Serving for our own purposes and accolades, often we don't get it anyway. If we're seeking for it, we don't get it. If we do get it, it doesn't last very long and we still feel unfulfilled. We need to be serving God and for his purposes only. We're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps, to bring God honour and glory through our service, as I said. So how can we show ourselves to be servant-hearted? Rick Warren, in his Purpose Driven Life book, which you're going to be looking at in this set of readings this week, he gives a few examples.
But here's some. Be available to serve is what he says. A servant-hearted person will always be ready to put themselves forward to serve, even when it could be inconvenient because of time and other constraints. If you have a servant, you have a servant heart if you're willing to pay attention to people's needs. A servant-hearted person will always look out to help others. A servant-hearted person will do the best with what they have. They won't say that they're the most amazing person in the world, but what they will say is, God, this is what you've given me. This is what I've got. I may not be as great as another person over there who's got the same gift to me, but I'm going to use what I have and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, serving you all the way. And finally, keep a low profile. Being a servant-hearted is not about influence, but it is about being humble. Don't you see those that really are servant-hearted? They would just, you wouldn't even know. They just get on and they do. They don't blow their own trumpet, they don't need to. In fact, they just let God do what they need to do in their own life. And they just go, I'm doing this to serve God. Philippians 2, verse 3 to 5 sums servanthood up really well. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So as we finish in conclusion, we live in a world where we are encouraged to use our gifts and talents to get ahead in life, to gain power, influence, and success. Yet God calls us as believers to be totally different. He calls us to a different standard. We're shaped to serve God and to serve others, not ourselves. God has made us all unique. He shaped us, given us gifts to serve him and his kingdom purposes. To serve God means that we get involved and we don't watch on the sideline. It means that we use our gifts in the right way. It means that we don't become a round peg in a square hole. And we learn to cultivate a servant heart. You and I were created to and shaped to serve God. All's required of us now is that we get on and we do it. There are people in this church who are massively gifted. But yet at this moment in time, haven't perhaps said, God, here I am, how can I be used in church service here? And we know that serving God is not just about in this building, but it's where it starts, because it's where we are right at the moment. But it's also out there. It's serving God using the gifts we have in the workplace. Serving God where we are with our kids and with our family and with our friends. But it's also so important for us to be a family together here and to use our gifts to be served. So if you're not being used of God right now and you've been really challenged by the message, what I'd say to you is don't just go away and go, that was a challenging message, that was great. But think about, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What opportunities might there be? There are opportunities here to help in a number of different ways. Come and have a conversation with me. Have a conversation with any of the other leaders. We can begin to point you in the right direction. Because can you imagine the impact that we would have in our world if we all used our gifts to honour God, used our gifts to serve others? Can you imagine the impact that we would have and the people that would come to faith as a result? I want to challenge you, whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're in the middle, it doesn't matter. God has called you and has shaped you to serve him. So it's time we got going. Let's pray together, shall we?